Let's go to Matthew 6. And I'm going to read a couple of verses out of the Voice translation. Read 16 and 17. It reads, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life." Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. So hunt your neighbor and tell him you're a rescue worker. See, I thought God was going to let me teach on that this morning, but he had something else in mind. Okay. Several weeks ago, I was in a conversation with someone, and, you know, it was one of those pastoral, quote-unquote, type conversations. Someone comes to you, and they're like, "Pastor, I just missed it." It's like, what happened? You know, and they're telling me what happened. I said, "Well, why did you respond that way?" They said, "Well, I know what the word says, but after all, I'm only human. And I'm subject to human nature, you know, because I'm human, Pastor." I'll tell you how I responded to that in a little bit. Okay. But see, when I started out, as I always do, I even do it with me, say what the word says, but you have an excuse already. You know, I know what the word says. But I'm only human. Now, I can only take so much. You know, how much am I supposed to take? You know, I'm human, Pastor. That's what I am. And I started thinking about that. That what does it mean when we say I'm only human? So I looked it up. I couldn't find it in dictionary.com. But good old Merriam-Webster Online says human nature is the fundamental dispositions and traits of humans. It is the ways of thinking and feeling and acting that are common to, and it says, most people. I thought about that. It didn't say all people. It said most people, which lets me know that just by definition, everybody is not subject to, quote unquote, human nature. When I thought about it, because it said fundamentals, and I said, well, we've talked about fundamentals, and human nature was not in any of the fundamentals we talked about being Christians. But I kept going back on most people and said, so, okay, so there are people, they don't live by human nature. Who are these people and what do they live? What's their fundamental? What is it that they live by? Well, to figure that out, I had to go back to Genesis. So would you go with me to Genesis 1? And you most of you probably know where I'm going. I'm going to verse 26 and 27. Go read it in the King James, and I may read it in another translation. But in the King James, it says, "And God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So when God said, let's make man in our image, he wanted man to resemble the Godhead. Well, how do you resemble something? How are you made in someone's image and likeness? You don't just look like them. You act like them. Because otherwise you would not be resembling their likeness. You would just look like them, but you'd be saying something else. But we were made as humans to look like and act like and sound like God. Second part of God's plan was, he said, let them have dominion. Now, God created everything to listen to his voice. So if he created another being to be like them and gave them dominion over everything that he made, then that being he created would have to resemble God. When creation saw or heard that person, they would have to see and hear God. And listen to it. It's no different. You see a police officer, you may see that person, but when you see that man dressed in blue or whatever color their uniform is, you see all of the government of the state and of the nation is representative in that one person. And when he lifts up his hand, the nation is telling you, stop. I mean, because that's what he represents. Well, when we speak, we should see the same effect because we represent someone who's greater than the nation. We represent the King of Kings. And our dominion here on earth is based on our reflecting the characteristics of God. In the Message Bible, it says God spoke. Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, the earth itself, and every animal that moves upon the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. Be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. So see, God's nature being reflected in us is what qualifies for us and what enables us to be responsible. We can't be responsible if we don't let the nature of God and the characteristics of God flow through us. And if you're not responsible, you are
irresponsible.
You said it, I didn't. See, we couldn't be responsible without being made in God's image and reflecting his nature. But something happened. Human beings became contaminated. They sinned. And so they no longer reflected God's nature. And they no longer had command of this world. Their dominion was no longer recognized. And the nature of creation itself became corrupted. You never had, before Adam and Eve sinned, there was never animals called predators and prey. The Bible said that every herb-bearing seed was given to them for food, humans and animals. But when earth became corrupted and the glory of God left Adam and Eve, I've said this before, now some creatures looked at them and they didn't recognize who they were. Like, who's that? I don't know. Smell like food. Okay. Now you have predators. Now think about it. Why would God create one insect to mimic another insect just so we could catch it and kill it and eat it? Why would God do that? He wouldn't. But the adversary would, because he's the king of deception. And some animals took on those characteristics because humans were no longer in control. Because humans, when they sinned, they gave away everything that God gave them, and the control of this world was turned over again to the devil. But God had a plan. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, please, verse 17 and 18. This is what I said to the person when I told them. I said to them, look, you're not human. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, because you're in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. So that old thing of us being contaminated human beings has passed away if you have received Jesus Christ. And now, right now, you are a new creation. And I'm going to read this in, because I spent a lot of time researching the scripture. And I'm going to read it to you in several scriptures. Some of them you probably never heard of, and that's okay. But you can go and get the book by Mark Hankins, the study guide, and look them up, and you'll find them all in there. As soon as I get back to the page. I think my iPad must have been talking to Ralph's iPad. Oh, come on. Just give me a moment. There we go. King James. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Arthur Stanley translation. If anyone has entered into fellowship with Christ, a new world has at once opened upon him. An old world has passed away. The Anthony Dean translation says, and a true Christian is not merely a man altered, but a man remade. The Lubbock translation says, if a man is in Christ, he is created new. The man he was is passed away, and a new man has been created. The Williams translation, if anybody is in union with Christ, he is the work of a new creation. The old condition has passed away. A new condition has come. The Phillips New Testament says, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. There's a translation called the Easy to Read Version. It says, when anyone is in Christ, it is a whole new world. The old things are gone. Suddenly, everything is new. Now, listen carefully to the Living Bible. I'm going to read 16 to 18 in this translation. So stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them, or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself. This is Apostle Paul speaking. How differently I feel now, verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, you've become a new creature. Inside. Everything about you internally and eternally has changed. And you no longer behave according to human nature. But now you are again in a position to reflect the true nature of God. The true nature. So if the old nature is gone, if it's dead, if it's passed away, why are we falling subject to human nature? We're not human. We're spirit. I'll show you that in a little bit. See, the truth is, we became new people altogether. That means in every aspect, we have become new. And we need to learn how to act like it. We need to learn how to. It doesn't come automatically. We have to know that we're different. We have to know that we can now reflect God's nature all of the time. And to get to that place of knowing, we need to renew our minds. Look at Romans 12. I'm going to read this in the King James and in the Johnson paraphrase. King James says, "As I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So in everything that we encounter, we should be proving what's good and acceptable and perfect by God's standards, not by ours. But the Johnson paraphrase. Everybody take a deep breath. Take another one, slowly breathe in. Breathe out. You know, loosen your neck and tell your neighbor this isn't going to hurt. Okay. Okay. It says, "With a vision then of the ultimate fulfillment of all things, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, to offer your whole self to God with no strings attached." It's only just begun. Okay. Listen to what he says next. Genuine worship is a reasonable response for you to make to him. Now, I have to stay a minute here because that needs to be fully understood. Okay. We're to offer our whole self to God with no strings attached. What does that mean? Thank God for the free dictionary. Okay. Because no strings attached means we give our whole self, our spirit, soul, body, our thoughts, ideas, speech, and our feelings with no special demands or limits that we want God to accept. That means we can't, yes, God, I'll forgive them, but. Got to get that but out of there. Okay? Because that but represents a special condition. Yeah, I'll do this, God, up to this point. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. No, I've wasted enough time. Like he didn't spend time with us. No strings attached also means without conditions or restrictions. Yes, God, I'll go preach the gospel, but I ain't going to the North Pole. No. And I'm not going to the equator either. I don't want to be too cold or too hot. I'll go where it's lukewarm. Because there it's comfortable. Okay. We're going to go out there and stand on the igloo and just preach your word. It's cold up there, God. Put some heat up there and I'll come. No, we're attaching strings. And according to Paul, our worship is not genuine. See, genuine worship, it's not a good song comes on and we forget where we are and we just go wild and just praise God. It's not when a good slow song comes on, we fall on the ground and start tearing because we're just crying out to God with all our heart. No, genuine worship, according to what we just read, genuine worship is giving your whole self to God all of the time with no strings attached. That's what genuine worship is. So that means genuine worship is living our life wholly and totally based on what thus said the Lord. And if we're not doing that, according to the scripture, our worship is not genuine, and we give in to human nature. First of all, just when we think to put a condition on giving ourselves to God, say, I'll give my whole self, but I'm not going to give that part. Well, then you're not giving your whole self. Because if you're giving your whole self, every thought that doesn't line up with what God says, we have to learn how to get rid of. Because it will prevent us from giving our whole self. Because we'll be thinking about that thought. And we'll be thinking, I'm not doing this. I've been dealing with this for 15 years, for 40 years, for 3 months, whatever it is. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not. We're giving in to human nature because we're not offering genuine worship to God. Let me continue with verse 3. In that paraphrase, he wasn't finished. It says, and don't pattern your life after the culture around you. Rather, permit the Spirit of God within. The Spirit of God where?
Within.
To transform your being and behavior by uniting your deepest thoughts and feelings with your actions so that you demonstrate God's intention, which is positive, acceptable, and fulfilling. So we have to dig deep and make sure that thought that we place down near our toes so no one else can get to it, we need to bring it up and make it get into agreement with God's good and acceptable and perfect will. We have to do that. God's not going to do it. The Holy Ghost will tell you you need to fix that. And that's all he's going to tell you. He's not going to tell you. You need to fix that. Why won't he tell me how? You already know how. Really, if truth be told, you already knew you need to fix it. But you did not want to. Why? Well, sometimes with me it was a safety net. But see, here's the thing that happens. And I don't know anybody that thinks about this until after they do it. It's just like falling off a cliff. You don't know how far close you can get to the edge until you're on your way down. You're like, I shouldn't have taken that last step. I mean, but see, what happens is that the enemy will just tell you. He'll start telling you how good you are. And so why do you have to put up with this? After all, they know who you are, and they should know better. And you're like, yeah, they should. Well, you should know better than to allow that thought to continue, because the word says, the word says, love always believes the best of everybody. So when that thought comes, we need to get rid of it. I'm not going to think that. This person is blessed and highly favored of the Lord. They're a blessing to me. What are you talking about? Don't you remember what they did? No. Because I love them. Love doesn't keep an account. Don't say, you know, I've cast it into the sea of forgetfulness, because that's not scriptural. Now, I'm telling you, God said, I will remember your sins no more, but nowhere does it say he casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. There is no sea of forgetfulness. You know, so you need to understand that. And that, see that, and that's why you keep remembering. You throw it into a sea of forgetfulness, it doesn't exist. So it comes right back. You have to choose, even if the thought comes, I'm going to get rid of it. Even if it comes. And we have to remove the phrase, that's not fair, from our vocabulary. You know why? Because we're living based on a grace and mercy that we don't deserve. God's grace, his unmerited favor, keeps us going, whether we deserve it or not. How many of you would have died for someone that you knew was going to curse you? I'm not looking. How many of you would have died for someone who you knew was not going to receive you? So folks didn't deserve for Jesus to die for them. But when you think about God's heart, they did deserve it. Because when you love someone, they deserve the very, very best that you have to give them. Because you love them. Period. And so what if I don't love them? Then you're not giving God genuine worship. Because he said, love your neighbor. And your neighbor is anybody you have a chance to meet. Which means we're supposed to love everybody. Even Kim Jong-un. And I don't mean to mispronounce his name. I'm not mocking him. Did I pronounce it right, first of all? I did? Okay, good. No, but serious. He can't be that guy. He can't be that crazy dictator. We have to see him as someone that Jesus died for. And then offer him the fervent prayer based on our being righteous. Because we know that our prayers availeth much. So if we stop talking about him and start praying for him, his heart will change. I mean, that's, how do you know that? God said so. But if you're going to rely on human nature, you're going to have two words for him. Kill him. Three words for that nation. Wipe them out. Okay. I'm sure you can think of some more phrases. Take a moment, think of them, and now get rid of them. Okay. Jesus died for him. Yeah, take him out to dinner. Okay. But listen, 1 John 4:7 says that God is love. We're made in his image and after his likeness. So then we are love. And not love based on our definition of it, but love based on God's definition. So what is God's definition? Read 1 Corinthians 13. And it will tell you. And read it in as many translations as you can find. And you'll get the understanding. You may not like it. I'm being honest with you. You may think, why do I have to do that? Well, I can answer that question now. There are two reasons why you have to do it. God said so, and you want to live your life according to his word. If you don't believe God said so, don't do it. If you don't want to live your life according to his word, don't do it. But then don't go complaining to him when your life falls apart. I mean, that's because when you make a choice that you are not going to do things God's way, you have chosen human nature over a life in Christ. You've chosen the old man, You have resurrected from the dead. Congratulations, as the first person you've resurrected was your old man. Okay. And you're now relying on and listening to him instead of God. Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, according to the Message Bible, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I love you. You love one another." But he told us why. "This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other." So he's telling us, if we want to be a reflection of him, if we want his nature to be our nature, then we have to operate in love. Because when people see that, they'll say, those folks have to be associated with Jesus Christ. They couldn't love like that if they were not. See, he didn't ask us to love one another. He commanded us to love one another. And so if we love him, we'll do what he said. Because that's what he said. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if we don't do what he says, we are saying, I don't love you. It's just that simple. See, once we receive Christ, we operate by a different set of rules, a different set of principles. And we can do things that we could never do before. Remember the Bible, what the word says? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if we can do, or since we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us after we have received him, then why can't we always reflect God's nature instead of going back and forth between God's nature, human nature, God's nature, human nature? Unless we just want to operate based on human nature. Because the devil can't make us operate according to human nature. I mean, he can give us reasons why we should, but we don't have to listen to him because we are now new creatures. We're not controlled by human nature. We don't have the sin nature anymore. So those who think that, well, that's not a fair comparison because Jesus didn't have the sin nature. So, of course, it was easy for him not to sin. Let's think about that for a moment. How is the sin nature generated? How is it passed on? Human birth. Humans pass on the sin nature. So that means if you were a created being, then you didn't have a sin nature because God didn't put it in you when he created you. Right or wrong? Is that right? Okay. Lucifer was a created being. Did he have the sin nature in him? No, he didn't. But he sinned. Adam and Eve did not have the sin nature in them, yet they sinned. Gabriel did not have, does not have the sin nature, and he chose not to sin. Jesus doesn't have the sin nature, but even though he was tempted in all ways, just like we are, he never sinned. That's right. It's a choice that one makes. Before we received Jesus Christ, we really didn't have a choice. We were driven by emotion and feelings. We were driven by human nature. Now that we're in Christ, we are led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will never lead us into sinning. As a matter of fact, how many of you believe that the Holy Ghost will guide us into all truth? Well, then that means if sin is over there And righteousness is over here. Which way will the Holy Ghost lead us? Over here to righteousness. Then why do some go over into sin? They want to. For whatever reason, they decided this is the best for me right now. And they are sincerely wrong. I apologize for the scratching. That's one of the side effects of having facial hair. No, just trying to get it right where it doesn't rub on the bristles. And I deliberately cut it down short, figuring that would help, but it still does it. See, what I want us to understand is that once we have received Christ, we have received the ability and the anointing to do everything the Bible says we can do and commands us to do. Everything. There isn't anything that Jesus commands us to do or tells us to do that we're not anointed to do, that we're not empowered to do. Because if that were so, then his commands would not be fair. Because he'd be setting us up to fail. And he doesn't do that. You say, well, how do I know? How can I tell, Pastor Greg, how can I tell that this is God putting me in this situation? Great question. I believe I have a great answer. God said he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able to bear. But with the temptation, will give you a way of escape. So, if you're going through it, you can handle it. You can handle it. If you want to. So, see, the real problem is not that we're incapable of dealing with the situation. The real problem is we don't want to deal with it. Or we're tired of dealing with it. Or we've had enough. Is that real enough for you? Okay. We've had, anybody have been there? Okay, I've had enough. And we get to that point, it's, I don't care what happens.
That's it.
I had this saying, and I've since stopped saying it. But, you know, concerning some situations, I'd go, okay, D. And something, up. Oh, keep going, something up. N. And I said, all right. I mean, I give some slack with the E. I just do the, you know, and then wait to put that last one. Okay. But in order to do that, I have to be keeping an account. If I'm not keeping an account, every time something happens, I'd be going D. Something happens again, oop, D. Up, D. How can I get past D? If I'm not keeping an account, you can't. So I'm living my life on D. That's good. That stands for divine. Okay. But we have to think about these things because too often we will open our mouth and insert our foot. And how many of you know it's harder to get your foot out of your mouth? All right. See, if you're only human, then you walk around with foot and mouth disease. Okay. But if you realize, or once you realize you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, you realize these feet were made for walking. Yeah, and that's just what they do. But we can't sing the second part. Okay. Yeah, don't even think about that part. Okay. So what are they laughing at? Don't go on Google and look up that song. Told you one that was a song that these feet were made for walking, and that's just what they do. Then the voice changes. One of these days, these feet are going to walk all over. No, we weren't designed to walk all over anybody. Look at Galatians 2. Read it, you following the King James. I'm going to read it in a distilled Bible. Yeah, I looked through a lot for this lesson. No, because it's important, because it's these little things that cause a tremendous amount of trouble and conflict. I'd rather find this stuff out before you start finding it out, because you now have to fix something. Galatians 2:20 in the Distilled Bible says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoy a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. So would Jesus ever use my body to say something mean or unkind? No. Would he ever use my body to do something hurtful or harmful? No. Would he use my body to tear down? No. So why am I allowing it? In order to allow it, I need to say, okay, get out. Out. Okay, because you can't be around. If you're around, I can't do this. We have to make a choice to separate ourselves from everything that we've become in Christ. To do something, to deliberately do something hurtful, harmful, wrong. And use the rationale, well, I'm only human. No, you were human. Now you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The voice translation says of Romans 12:2, I know we read several, but I'm going to read this one now. It says, do not allow this world to mold you in its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind. So we have to understand that change happens internally. It reflects itself externally. See, who we are is based on what's going on within us. That's what people see. They see the result of what's going on in you. That's why sometimes I walk up to people and I look at them and I say, okay, what's going on? So what do you mean? What's going on? This isn't you. And then they start saying, well, you know, I thought I could deal with it by myself. Well, you don't have to. You don't have, but it shows. When something's going, it shows. And eventually, it's going to rise up. Why? Because you let it come in, and you let it stay there, and it became the abundance of your heart. And then anything will set it off. When we don't get rid of things, we become ticking time bombs. So our nature, I'm going to read this note they gave me. Our nature is dependent on what's going on within us. The old sinful, only human, led by human nature self died. Jesus made us alive by coming to live in us, using our body to do God's work, using our body to reflect God's nature. We no longer have to be subject to human nature. Galatians 2:20 gives us another dimension. This is the 20th century New Testament. Yes, I do own a King James, but I don't speak King James. And a lot of times the King James Version, you can't really grab hold of what it's saying. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, so it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And so as for my present earthly life, I am living it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that means right now, we're living by the faith of Christ. Right now. And what did the Son of Christ, or the Son of God say about faith? Well, he told us if we had faith the grain of a mustard seed, nothing would be impossible. Nothing would be impossible. Pastor Ed and I were having a conversation about this last week because we were looking at it from two different points of view. And I said, look, if Jesus wanted us to have more than the measure of faith we were given, when a disciple said, increase our faith, he would have said, yeah, because you jokers need more faith. Okay, but what he said is that you don't need more faith, you need to have faith. Because when they said increase our faith, he said, if you had faith, you'd say, and it would respond. So no, you don't need more faith, you have to learn to use what you've been given already. You have to develop your understanding. I have faith. I can do this. Period. And I don't care what it is, because the word says that since I have faith, nothing is impossible for me. What does nothing exclude? Is there anything not included in nothing? So that means there isn't anything anywhere at any time that's greater, or I should say that can stop us from doing what God said or having what God says we can have. Nothing. And we don't need more faith. We need more understanding to realize what faith can do. David did not gain any additional faith when he was going out to fight Goliath. He didn't say, the same God that delivered, gave me the faith to beat the lion and the bear will give me more faith so I can beat Goliath. He said, no, the same God that delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Period. And when the king tried to give him more than what he was used to dealing with, he couldn't use it. I want to say done with this earpiece, but I'm not. Because it's not the earpiece, it's the way I put it on. So. You can hear me, though. All right. So we need to understand, folks, that because we have been given all the faith we need, we don't have to operate according to human nature. We don't have to get frustrated. And that's something that I'm working on, because I'll say in a moment that I'm getting frustrated with this now. And the reason you know why I'm getting frustrated? Because I really believe that I am when I say it. And I'm having what I say because I'm saying it in faith. People that say, oh, this faith stuff doesn't work, are really, well, you know what they're doing? They're proving that it does. Because it's not working for them, because they're saying it, and they're saying it because they really believe it in their heart. So we need to change what we say. Tell your neighbor, we are not only human. We don't have to be subject to human emotions. Go ahead, tell them. We don't have to be subject to human emotions. See, folks, God, he initially created us human. But as I said earlier, but then humans became contaminated. So we had to be recreated, born again, without human nature. That's why we're born of the Spirit, which makes us spirit beings. Spirit beings are led by the Spirit. I mean, that's what we need to understand. See, God is love, and he gave us the opportunity to be new creatures because he loves us. And he wanted us to be able to be in fellowship with him for eternity. And he wanted us to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and keep it under control. But I got to read John 4, 23 and 24 in the Johnson paraphrase. I'm almost done. It says, the time is coming, John 4, verse 23 and 24. It says, the time is coming. In fact, it's here already. When genuine worship, remember genuine worship? Worship with no strings attached. It said, when genuine worship will arise out of a person's innermost being in congruence with reality, because this is how the Father wants to be worshiped. God is a spirit, and authentic worship of him must be in accord with the worshiper's inner being in congruence with reality. What is reality? That you're a spirit being, that your life is hid in Christ, that you're a new creature in Christ. That's the reality. And our deeper, innermost feelings need to be in agreement with that. And God said, that's the only way you can give me real worship. If those two don't agree, then what you're giving me is not genuine, authentic worship. And if we're not giving genuine, authentic worship, we're worshiping him according to our human nature. We're worshiping because, well, this is the time when we do praise and worship. And it's disingenuous. We don't mean for it to be, but it's like, well, this is what we do. It's like if we have prayer service, well, let me come and pray. We're sitting there praying in tongues. Oh, man, 35 more minutes. Oh, man, 30 minutes. Oh, it's 20 minutes. No. We're disingenuous. Our heart, our innermost being, is not turned towards prayer. It's turned towards the ending of prayer. It's just like sometimes services go longer, and not just because it's going long, God is speaking. And one of the great things about, and I'm just saying great as a word, I don't mean it's great in that sense. Well, I'll just say one of the things about using a device, it always gives you the time up there. See, so no one sees you or you just look and say, man, is he ever going to stop? The answer is yes, I am. Okay. First, I got to share this in Galatians 6. Out of the voice, verse 15 says, let me be clear. Circumcision won't save you. One circumcision won't either, for that matter, for both amount to nothing. Listen, this is the part I wanted to get to. God's new creation is what counts, and it counts for everything. So it's saying, let me be clear. God's new creation is what counts. The contemporary English version says at the end of verse 15, all that matters is that you are a new person. What you were before is irrelevant. All that matters now, right now, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Barclay says, what matters is the creating of the man all over again. Folks, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We reflect the true nature of God, period. We give God genuine worship by offering our whole self to God unconditionally. No strings attached. No conditions attached. No special demands. No limits. None. Whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do. And remember this, there ain't a thing the devil can do about it.